of grace comes from the eternal God. All peace comes from the eternal God. Not like peace that we want. Not an outward peace. God doesn't care about the peace of this world that all the politicians try to show that they can deliver. This is a peace with God and peace of God. And it's eternal. It's everlasting. It always was, it always is, and it always will be. Revelations 1:8. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, which is, which was, and which is to come. The first, the Alpha, the first letter of the Greek alphabet, the Omega, the last letter of the Greek alphabet. God is the beginning and God is the end. Verse 11. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. And then he tells what to write to the churches. He is the first and the last. Many of the Jewish people believed in the Alpha. That is, that could be considered as deity. Jesus Christ, though, is speaking it. This is the deity of the pre-existence before incarnation. So they can believe God was. But that's the deity of Jesus Christ. That's his deity. It proves that he's God. Jesus says, I'm the beginning. I was there. I'm in the beginning. I'm there right at the end. And only God can do that, be that. But they have the problem with the Omega. The Omega is the hypostatic union of Jesus Christ, which basically is the God-man. Jesus, 100% God, 100% man in existence. In human existence, God became man. And this is where it's so hard to wrap your arms or your mind around, because this man would suffer as sin. Romans 8:3. He would suffer as sin. God sent his son to die and to become sin. And he who knew no sin became sin. So that there's problems trying to figure that out. They'll accept God that he was in pre-existence, but they can't understand why God would become man. And it's hard. And this is why Jesus is going to say this over and over and over again. This is why it's repeated all through Revelations. Okay? So, and because of the rejection of Omega, then Israel will live under the curse of Deuteronomy chapter 28. In the first 14 verses, God says, if you believe me and walk with me, I will bless you. And then from 15, and I think that chapter goes to like 68 or somewhere in this. It's a long chapter. Everything after that is about if you don't walk with me and you don't believe who I am. And it's all the cursings on Israel. How they're going to go into captivity. How they're going to be cursed. How they're going to have plagues set upon them. How they're going to be separated from their land. How they'll never be able to come back. How they'll be in bondage. All because they rejected the Alpha and the Omega. This is why it's so listed here. So we did 8, right? We did 11, right? Verse 17. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet and laid his right hand upon me, saying, fear not, for I am the first and I am the last. I am he that liveth. Verse 18. Chapter 1. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Chapter 2, verse 8, to the church of Smyra. Unto the angel of the church of Smyra write these things, the first, the last, which was dead, but now is alive. Chapter 21, Revelations. Verse 6. And he said unto me, it is done. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I give unto him that thirsts the fountains of water of life freely. Yeah. And then, 22, and in verse 13, as Revelation comes to the end, I am the, verse 13, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. So pretty clear here. This is for us basically to live in spiritual autonomy, which basically means our condition, our capacity to function in God's truth, no matter what the situation is. God's truth is God's truth. And autonomy means to live in that. I'm going to believe in God no matter what I'm going through. He is the beginning. He is the now, he is the end. And now that word of God will judge everybody at the white throne judgment. He is the judge and he is the ruler of all through this Revelations. Okay, so where are we at? Revelation 16, a couple more bowls of judgment. 16, right, Albert?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, verse 10. It says, and the fifth angel poured out his bowl upon the seat of the beast, and his kingdom was full of darkness, and they gnawed their tongues for pain. And they blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pain and their sores, and repented not. They cursed God, and they still wouldn't repent. Now, this isn't animals. I don't think this isn't talking about wild animals. I believe this is the beast that comes out of the sea in Revelation 13. And that beast that comes out of the sea will be a man. And it will represent a kingdom. And Satan will be behind and pulling the strings of this person, this ruler. And the kingdom is full of darkness. It's a kingdom that's full of darkness, it says. There is no light in it. Christ came as light. And darkness loves darkness rather than light. And they will live in darkness. Exodus 10:21 talks about a darkness, one of the plagues that was put upon Egypt. It was a darkness that was so thick that people couldn't even walk, couldn't even see in front of it. This is what this kingdom represents. It's a kingdom of darkness. So I think that's pretty clear. Let's look at some verses with that deal with both chapter 4 and this one, where even the remember, the sun, the moon, and the stars have lost most of their light. Turn to, and remember, A lot in Revelations will be backed by prophecy, not one single prophecy. Second Peter is for personal interpretation. That means there's a mixture of prophecy that will teach this. Let's start with Isaiah chapter 60.
That's louder.
Verse 2. And I love, you know, these verses. When I have an opportunity to share maybe with Jewish people, I like to use these verses because it talks about the opening up of the Gentiles. And it's in the Old Testament. So it's right here. In verse 2, he says, "For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee." It doesn't matter how wicked and dark people are or their lives are, it's still light in the presence of God. And God can still shine his light in that darkness even of their lives. Here, they will gnaw at their own tongues. They won't want anything to do with being... The intensity of suffering is going to be so great, it's going to be that much pain that's going to be taking place. And after all of that, or on top of all of that, men will not change. Men will not change. Mark 13:24 is another verse. Turn to Joel. A lot of turning in the Bible today. Joel chapter 2. Breaks this down good. Joel chapter 2. Verses 1 and 2. "Blow the trumpet in Zion. Sound the alarm in his holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble. For the day of the Lord cometh, and it's nigh at hand. A day of darkness and gloominess. A day of clouds and thick darkness, as the morning spreads upon the mountain, a great people and a strong. They have not even ever seen like it before, neither shall they see it after, even to the years of many generations." And this talks about that whole thing. And then also 30, verse 30. "And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord." So the prophecy of Joel. Back to Revelations. The sixth bowl. "And the sixth angel poured out his bowl upon the great river Euphrates. And the water thereof was dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared." So here's the sixth bowl poured on the river Euphrates. And by the way, this river is the longest river in the world, and it equals probably with the Tigris, pretty close, but it's close to 1,800 miles long. It goes through Iran, Iraq, and into Turkey. Covers all of those areas. It's very wide and it's very deep. And we are in 16 verse 12 in Revelations. So this major river, and we talked about it last week, where life began, basically, as it ran through the Garden of Eden. Yeah. Life man will be start there and man will end there, because this river is going to be fully dried up, which is incredible. But it's going to allow armies to walk over on dry ground for one battle, the Battle of Armageddon. This is the purpose of this judgment. So they'll, this amazing river Euphrates, talked about even in Genesis 2. Abraham was given it in Genesis 15. God gave him that river because of what would come out of it. And now it will be fully dried up. Fully dried up. So, now, in between the sixth bowl and the seventh bowl, there's a couple things that are going to happen. And let me read it from 13. So Revelation 6:13, he says, "And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs." So this isn't frogs. Like a lot of things in Revelation is specific what it is. This, he didn't have an explanation. Your Bible, I think American Standard says, "as it were frogs." Could be. So they weren't, but they were unclean spirits. "And they came out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet." This is the trinity of hell. This is the trinity of hell. The Antichrist, Satan, and the false prophet. And 14, "For they are the spirits of devils." Look at that next little phrase, "working miracles." You don't think Satan can do miracles? Major deception on the miracles that he's going to do. And he's going to do some really amazing stuff, really, if you think about it. And many will turn to them. "Which will go forth into the kings of the earth, and the whole world will gather to them in battle of the great day of God." And then Jesus speaks, and he says, "Behold, I come as a thief of the night," or as a thief. "Blessed is the watchman that keeps his garments, and he walk naked as they protect their shame." But Matthew 24:43, he says, "I come as a thief of the night." 2 Peter 3:10. Let's read that. Turn to 2 Peter 3:10. That's a good verse. Keep your place where you're at. Yeah. So 2 Peter 3:10, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up." Verse 16, "And they gathered them together into one place," in the Hebrew tongue, called Armageddon. So this isn't a battle. This is a 3.5 year war. That's how I see this. This is going to take place the whole rest of the part of the Great Tribulation period. And countries will easily be, including Russia, will be easily be able to walk right on through on dry ground with no stoppage. And Jesus Christ will come and he'll establish his kingdom at this time. After this battle or during it. The seventh bowl, the last judgment. We've gone through the seven seals, the seven trumpets, and now the seven vials or the seven bowls that make up the judgment on mankind and on the earth. So the seventh bowl basically says the seventh angel poured out his bowl into the air. And there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne room saying, "It is done." And there were voices and thunders and lightnings, and there were great earthquakes, such as not seen, not since men were upon the earth, so mighty of an earthquake and so great. And the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell. Great Babylon came in remembrance before God. Okay, so the judgment now, the pouring into the air. So we are now at the end of the great tribulation period. Christ again is judge here. There's no geographical location, but a great voice comes out of the temple. And I believe that this voice is Jesus Christ. And what he says is, "It is done." And this is the second time Christ voiced this, or "It is finished." The first time he voiced it when he was on the cross in John 19:30, when he said, "It is finished." And what was finished was salvation. Salvation became finished. Salvation became free. Nothing man could do to earn salvation. It had to be a finished work. It had to be a work of Christ. Nobody else could finish it. Nobody else could do it. If Christ never came, it would be undone. It could never be finished. Man tried. God looked at and looked for a man to do it, and Isaiah 59 found no man. Man could not keep it. Man could never keep it, because there's sin within man. And Jesus Christ, God himself, this is why we spoke in the beginning about the Alpha and the Omega, and how many times it's through there. His pre-existing incarnation of the God-man, the hypostatic union, where God had to become man, and he took on sin, and he went all the way to the cross to satisfy and have salvation be done for us. And the only thing we now do now is believe on it as a free gift of grace. It's by grace you are saved, through faith, not of works. Nothing you can do to boast about it is a free gift. So, it is done. It is done. Here, now, they're talking about judgment, though. The wrath of God. And that is done, too. And that means nothing man can do now to escape it. Judgment will be poured upon man now. Grace was open for all these so far 2,000 years, and it's still in the church age until Christ comes back for his church. But at this time, that it's done also. And man will not be able to escape the judgment of God. And it's the reason is because they will neglect the free gift of salvation. And God, as we've seen, even through all the different seals and trumpets, after every judgment, after all seven, the three series of seven, seven seals, seven trumpets, he gave an invitation for man to be saved. And man continued to blaspheme God. Wanted nothing to do with it. So the great tribulation now is done. The great tribulation is finished. Yeah. It's done. Look at one more verse. Look at Hebrews chapter 2. Verse 3, Hebrews 2:3. How shall we escape if we neglect so great of a salvation? How can you escape? Which was spoken by the Lord and confirmed by us, them that heard him. Nothing left after this but the great white throne judgment. Everything has been judged. And now man will stand before God, and every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. Now, this is not the judgment of the believers. We've already been judged. We've been judged when we accepted Christ. So believers will not be at this judgment. But there is a judgment seat of the believers. It's called the Bema Seat. And there's three different judgments that happen to the believer. We'll hit that next week. And then maybe we'll go into this great white throne judgment. But so you have the lightning, the thunder, and the earthquake. Remember at the beginning of this when we started the first seal? That all took place. And now here it is again at the end. The earthquake will divide the great city. So now this can be discussed. This is openly, because what is the great city? Some people I've heard say it was Jerusalem as being the great city. The Bible, even in Revelations 14:8, says the great city is Babylon. So that goes back and forth of who actually that is. Remember, Babylon is fallen. It's fallen. And so I kind of lead that way, but listening to see what Albert or Monty or Pastor Keith has to say. So these are cities, I think, and nations that will now fall. The greatest nations and the greatest empires and rulers and kings will all fall at this time. That's the stance that I take from seeing this, because it is still in judgment. So I don't think this is judgment on Jerusalem. I think this is judgment on the Babylonian Empire, who stands for government. It stands for government, and out of that government will come a one world leader. So to me, that makes sense, that that's what's going to be judged. And and of course these three things of the Trinity of Satan, so to speak. Amen?
Amen.
Heavenly Father, we thank you. Lord, we thank you that it is done for us, for our sins, that we will never be judged. And Lord, just put within us a hunger and a thirst for you, and a command to go, to hear you speak to our hearts, to go and to preach the gospel, to let people know that they could have eternal life. Because one day, shortly, this will all unveil very, very quickly. Very quickly. 7 years, and all judgment will be poured upon the earth. We thank you for these studies the last 4 weeks on this, and as we continue in the book of eschatology and Revelations, we thank you, we love you, in Jesus' name. Bless the offering, and any questions or comments, in Jesus' name, amen.